now we are joined by another political actor. We're talking about Otago Students for Justice in Palestine, Palo Alto Student Declaration. If you have been paying attention to student news, Palo Alto, an Israeli cybersecurity firm who have partnered with the University of Otago for a master's program in Queenstown. The university has been under immense pressure from activist groups like Otago Students for Justice in Palestine to reconsider this decision, and now the decision is under review. We've got Rosie Cruikshank here from Otago Students for Justice in Palestine to talk all about this and then some. Good morning to you, Rosie. How are we?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's just annoying when, you know, your brain is treating words like hurdles. That's infuriating. And it happens to me a whole heck of a lot. But yeah, you're chill otherwise.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm very, very happy to hear that. Your group, OSJP, were in the critic news cycle this week as your posters were accidentally torn down from notice boards around campus. This came down to a misunderstanding with someone from the university telling other staff to remove posters from tables, not notice boards. There was a mix-up. From your engagement with the university, do you think this is the case?
I think it's very likely that it was someone in sort of middle management who didn't like the posters and wanted them taken down. Like, we had a student come to us and say explicitly, like, that line about inciting violence and stuff. But I don't think this was a university-level decision. I don't think there was, like, animosity in that in any way, or that it was coming from them, or a genuine attempt to silence student voice. Although I do think they don't like our posters. I feel like that's very evident. Like, campus used to be plastered with posters, and now there's, like, very specific allowed spots where student voice is kind of being managed. I think that's a very clear theme, and we did an OAA request in the past about things related to Palestine, and postering came up a lot, including one email, I could find it somewhere, but it said something to the effect of, like, we need to take down posters from all the groups, not just political ones, because it makes us look a certain way, which was really interesting.
It just sort of speaks to the depoliticization of university life, really.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I had Troy Gibbons from the exec on yesterday. We talked about the Gig for Gaza fundraiser, which is happening on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how the Gaza genocide has been getting a lot less attention this year. Feels like people aren't talking about it as much.
Yeah, I think that is true. I think maybe that's just the nature of, like, news cycles and things. But then at the same time, like, there's all this stuff happening in Iran now, and that's big news. People are talking about that, and I feel like
it's kind of correlated.
We know the way it's connected. Like, yeah. There's still, like, concerns about this, like, US-Israeli imperialism stuff. I think people are worried and they do care, but I think the conversation's just, you know, people don't want to have the same depressing news over and over, and they choose to engage with it differently.
No, but it is fascinating with the US-Israeli decision to attack Iran. And then also the backdrop of that is obviously Jeffrey Epstein. And then there's lots of theories that he was working for the Israelis. And there seems to be a lot more concern about Israel now than there used to be maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think part of that's just it's becoming more overt what they're doing, but also just, I guess, there's been activism for years, but I feel like it's at a real height with, like, what happened at October 7th, and, like, people's eyes are open to it now, and they're engaging with it and seeing, like, the truth.
As I mentioned before, the uni's decision to partner with Israeli cybersecurity firm Palo Alto for a master's program at the Queenstown campus is pretty tricky. The Palo Alto itself has been described as supplying cyber and information security services for critical network infrastructure, a la Critic. What role do they have in the genocide?
So I have, like, quite close connections. Like, their founder was a member of Unit 8200, which is the Israeli Defense Forces cyber unit, and they continue to have direct, like, cross recruitment between these two groups. So they trade off their reputation in that unit that their security is like battle tested. So they have this direct, like, working relationship, and in turn they create technologies. They create a large host of technologies, but including stuff that can be used for military purposes, which is then contracted back to the Israeli Defense Force. they've also, it's not just the founder. Grant Robertson sent out an email saying, like, oh, this is all a misunderstanding. The founder was born in Israel, and that's what people are talking about. It's absolutely not true. They have a close working relationship with the Israeli Defense Force. They intentionally acquired a number of startups, so other sort of cyber-related companies that were also born out of this Unit 8200, trading off their reputation for, like, weapons technologies to create this cyber technology. And it's, like, part of their strategy. They've, like, openly said that, like, Israel's moving into the cyber market. It's supportive of their economy and gives them, like, you know, financial capacity to continue what they're doing. But it's also useful for them because those same technologies can be applied in war. And they relationships, including those with university partnerships, are a key priority for them because it gives them this legitimacy and, like, makes it seem like this is a, like, fine thing, like, we all need cybersecurity, that's important. And also it gives them the pool of, like, top graduates to, like, directly recruit out of. And they, like, called the partnership something like the pipeline to the front lines of cybersecurity, which, like, even the wording of that, you can hear in it how, like, sort of sinister that deal is.
Yeah, completely. And from what I read, it seems like the Palo Alto is trying to monopolize the cybersecurity market in a way that if a country had any sort of, inkling that or had any sort of annoyance of Israel for what they're doing, they could just pull their cybersecurity forces, their cybersecurity abilities, and that country would be without cybersecurity.
That's interesting. I feel like we're a long way from there, at least at this point. I think Palo Alto has a reputation for, like, its tech itself is, like, not that good. It's kind of
really
new in a way.
Oh, right.
And that's why it's almost kind of crazy that we have a deal with them. It's not like they're the only option on the market or the biggest. I guess they're just the one that offered us the money, right?
Sheesh. The partnership is under review, as mentioned. Grant Robertson sent a letter to the OUSA exec saying that the partnership is under review. I asked Troy Gibbons, the finance and strategy rep on the exec, about what he thought about the term under review. He said it's corporate speak. What do you think the term under review means? How do you feel about it?
I think it is a good sign, actually. I think, Grant Robertson himself has been saying things like, oh, we didn't know this, we didn't know that. We see them, like, trying to give themselves an out on this deal already, like, in the media, the way they've changed their language about it as, like, it's gone along. They've, like, less and less stressed the, like, closeness of the deal, the amount of say that the company will have, and they've really, like, changed their position, at least outwardly already. I think it is an embarrassing look for them, and, like, in a publicity way alone, there might be a chance to kind of push that through. But at the same time, like, I have my personal skepticisms. I've been working on the campaign for a long time, and there have been lots of points where we thought, like, we were winning with the university. They developed their ethical procurement and investment policies, like, we thought that was gonna look like a win, but we haven't really seen positive results from that yet. And I think it definitely is a technique that they use to, like, calm dissent while it goes through some, like, long bureaucratic process, but everyone's, like,
just putting spin on it.
Yeah. And, like, maybe it will come out the right side. I'm hopeful that it will, but I think it means that we need to keep dissent up and keep, like, anger and talking about this issue up while it's happening so that we can make sure that that review process has the, like, right outcome.
Completely. I mean, you mentioned the university's ethical procurement policy. How did this slip through the cracks?
So it's not a procurement. It's a partnership, and we were told this isn't subject.
What is the difference?
Yeah, right. So procurement is like the things they get in, the contractors they have. So I think they do actually contract to Palo Alto as well. But the nature of this policy that's come through, they've put it through. They have these, like, guidelines for it now, which are okay, kind of good. They don't explicitly mention genocide, but I think they have this language of human rights. We still have the ability to kind of push on that front. But also, they aren't going to investigate themselves. They've said they won't do that. So now there's a policy there at which other people can challenge, like, procurement and investment deals they do have, which obviously is unclear. I don't know. There's a process for this, which I don't know the details of stuff for Palestine. And I think the OUSA exec are looking into kind of trying to do some of those things. But it's a very roundabout way where they're like, yeah, so now we have this policy, but we aren't going to investigate whether our stuff matches the policy, and we're just going to continue what we're doing unless there's a specific thing of issue that comes up. And then also partnerships aren't included in this. So procurement's like the things they get in, the services they have, and then investments is like, the money that they have in various different accounts. And we don't know what's in their investments either. They've refused to disclose. That's been one of our main demands from the beginning, like, tell us what investments you do have. So again, I don't know what a challenging that process would look like.
Didn't the University of Canterbury do that?
Yep, the University of Canterbury did do that, and it revealed Israeli bonds and weapons companies that directly contract to Israel, when they had said, just like our university has said, that their books are clean. They weren't clean. Victoria University also did disclose. So same kinds of things. There were things there that had been like unknown to students.
Mm.
So we're on the back foot in that way as well.
Yeah, we can probably imagine that things aren't great with the... we probably have some ties to Israel.
Yeah.
Your organisation, Otago Students for Justice in Palestine, is drafting a declaration to collect student signatures to make sure they get the message you mentioned about, you know, the need to put pressure on the university. This is the pressure that you're going to be putting on them.
Mm.
What else is going to be in this declaration?
The declaration is short and sweet. Just nice wording. We oppose the deal, why it's bad. We also have a bunch of sort of informational material to go alongside it about why... this company's so bad, what's going on with the university, staff at Palestine prepared a really good dossier, like really, really detailed, lots of quotes from the Israeli press, information about what this company is in great detail. That's linked in the bio of our Instagram, if you want to look at that. And so is the declaration. The declaration is live at the moment. We've collected about 1,000 signatures so far, which might not sound like a lot, but it's 5% of the student body about that. And that was basically from us walking around talking to people rather than like mass emails out or anything like that. We don't have the resources for. So I think it's a really good sign that people really do care. And it's still live and we're still going, still pushing for signatures because we want to demonstrate really clear student disapproval of this deal, that we're really strong against it.
Yeah. And when do you say was the cutoff for the declaration signatures?
We haven't set a cutoff yet.
So when do you think you'll be preparing or presenting this the declaration to the university?
We're still kind of in discussion about that. The university hasn't talked to us in a long time. We don't have a direct connection to that. So we're kind of trying to work out the best way to go about it. But probably we'll have a good couple of weeks, maybe even a month still of collecting signatures, that kind of educational stuff before we do. But it will also depend on their... process around reviewing the deal, because if they talk to us then we might have to might want to present it earlier if we're giving information to them.
Yeah. What was your Instagram handle for OSJP? Verbatim.
You know, I'll have to look that up real quick.
You do that. One connection to Palo Alto and New Zealand, I was told recently, was that John Key is on the board of directors for Palo Alto, and he is, which is horrifying. Really showing his true colours.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that actually makes a lot of sense.
It does.
I've heard John Key's behind a lot of those sort of military deals and stuff, that's part of why our government's trending in that direction at the moment.
Yeah, probably.
Him as a lobbyist still.
Yeah.
Which is evil. How do people who were in government get to have a direct line to government still when they're not elected officials? I don't know.
It's just a rotating door of influence. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. So we're Otago SJP.
Otago SJP. You can find that declaration at Otago SJP in the bio on their Instagram page. Thank you so much for joining me, Rosie. Do you have any final thoughts, opinions or considerations for our listeners out there?
I'll just shout out, we have an event coming up with Staff of Palestine on Tuesday the 19th of May at 12 p.m. in the main common room, where we'll be discussing all of the stuff about this deal some more, trying to get the word out there to students and really explain what's happening. We'll have Staff of Palestine people there, which are really good at like drawing out these connections, making everything really clear. So come along to that. And if you want to get more involved with us, we're also having a meeting tonight. So if you send us a DM, we can let you know when and where that is, and you can get involved with organising and really make this campaign a strong one.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Thank you so much. Cheers. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That was Rosie Cruikshank from Otago Students for Justice in Palestine, coming on to talk about a Palo Alto student declaration. Coming up at 10, we'll have the top 10 countdown. You are listening to The One. Here's Kneecap with Palestine featuring Fawzi. Take care.
It was a Radio 191! podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.